So the learning today should be Le'ile Nishmas Adir Chaver, Chaim Elozeb and Shem Shinari, and Reb Yaakov Yosef and Chaim Menachem Ben Sion, it should also be a schus for a fush lame of Chaim Moshe Shubba Malka, Chaim Doibim and Arachel, and Chanalei Abbas, Shein Dorachel, and it should also be a schus for all those in Amakam Sakana and Eretz Yisrael, including Daniel Shlema Ben Rasteka and Israel Baruch Ben Penina, who are both serving. So we did finish Amen yesterday. We started Achim, and we'll finish Achim today. And this is the concept of brothers. We talked yesterday about how important it is for a person to be there for a sibling, and specifically a brother, but I'm sure when we get to Achiseinu, it'll be similar, because he says that when they are suffering, a parent, when a child is suffering, a parent is suffering. And so if your sibling is in need, that means your parents are feeling it. And so therefore, you should look at it as not an opportunity to help a sibling, or not just as an opportunity to help a sibling, but as an opportunity to help out a parent. So we continue now, we're on page 152 in the middle. Ukedei liyo es b'sholem bein achim, in order for there to be peace between brothers, you have to be able to forego things. And everyone on here who has a brother knows that there's what we call brotherly love, and there are misunderstandings, and there are, you know, sometimes competing personalities, and sometimes the spouses get involved, and they definitely, you know, it's family, so you can't like not invite them to a simcha, but sometimes you like, you'd rather that you don't have to talk to them or sit with them. And so there's stuff that goes on. There's interactions, there's slights, there's dumb things that are said, there's impositions that are put on, and you have to be able to forgive and forget. Don't be meticulous, don't get upset over silly things. He says, certainly, you know, this applies to any other Jew, certainly to a sibling. If you want to create a fence, a safeguard to ensure that there is peace between brothers, don't live in the same house and don't sit at the same table. And I'll add, don't be partners in business. Okay, you stay away. What do they say? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. If you're sitting there every day and you see them, you get on the nerves. And so it's important to have, you know, boundaries, basically, is what he's saying. He says, Ka'anosham palganias. The women are going to fight, and they're going to stir up trouble between the brothers, because you think your brother's right, but you have to side with your wife, and now it becomes a whole, you know, you're stuck in the middle. And I guess we can't wait until we get to the Mem Machlekes, where he's going to talk about this in more detail. He says, I didn't even prepare this, and I'm being machaving to all of these things. And if for some reason they're partners in a store or a business, and they see things that are cause dispute, that are creeping up, take basically dissolve the partnership, because there's no reason, so that there will be no reason to fight. This is true of anything that could lead to a machlekes. If you see that something is going to lead to a fight, you know it. There's maybe ambiguity, or it's not 50-50, or you're not putting in equal effort, and you know that down the line, this is going to lead to a problem. If you want to avoid an avera as a result, then get out of that agreement, get out of that partnership, whatever it is, in advance. You seek peace and you chase after it, meaning you chase after it by running away from whether it's relationships or business opportunities that you know are going to lead to fights down the road. This is a fundamental rule when it comes to peace. To run away, he says, chase after anything that has the potential to cause a machloikes in order to uproot it. So usually we say it, you run the other direction. He's saying run in the direction, but in order to remove it. Kaidim sheyifra v'yir, but before it gains traction. The high tigra d'mei l'bitka d'maya. It's like a channel of water. You have this irrigation channel, this stream that's from a river that's overflowing, given the ravach ravach. Once it widens, it's just going to get wider. The channel, when it eroded the sides of the banks, the river banks, it's not going to come back together. Once it's wider, it's wider. And once a fight starts, even if there's peace restored, it's not going to be gone forever. There are certain types of fights that get very... We're talking about emotional fights. Why are divorces so hard? Because there's a lot of emotion involved. If it's just a regular business transaction and there's no emotion involved, so you could come to a reasonable business conclusion. Okay, I want to settle with you. You're entitled to some money. I'm not giving you everything. Let's reach some sort of agreement. But if there's emotion involved, so suddenly divorces, it becomes not just about the money. It's about the principle. It's about I want to win and I don't want that person to lose. And he says it's the same thing when you're dealing with a sibling. And when you're dealing with a sibling and their spouse and your spouse, there's emotion involved and the resentment doesn't go away even if the fight is if you make up. Lachin, therefore, type of gever, it's fitting for a person. She is not going to be an achrist of a Mary Shisa. Basically, look forward, look in the future, anticipate what something might turn out. And basically, save yourself by understanding the situations you're going to be in. Anticipate that this is a type of arrangement that favors you, but you know that when the other person realizes it, you know, in a year or two, that they're going to be very upset at you. And that they're going to claim that you took advantage, even though it's in black and white. But and you know they could read the agreement, or they don't fail to understand fully. But if you know that once they realize that you have the upper hand, it's going to lead to a fight, then get out of it in the beginning. That's really the right way to address that type of situation. So he says the ikara avi yavas nefesh. The true love that we talk about is the love that's tied to the soul. Ki ehira, which again now goes back to ava that we talked about. More than just the physical love, which is tied to something that could go away, whether it's beauty, whether it's money, whether it's some sort of favor, you know, benefit that you get. But if the benefit, the looks, the money goes away, then the love goes away, versus a love of the nefesh that is not tied to anything physical. How can you stand by and watch when your brother in the next world is going to suffer? And it's going to cause such sorrow to the neshamas of your parents. Why? Because when you see a brother acting out, so he's talking now, if you see a brother that's going off the derech, or you see a brother that's doing something inappropriate, and maybe he's running a Ponzi scheme, and you know about it. So don't just turn a blind eye, but get him to stop. If you see that he's headed down a bad path or he's doing something improper, or he's not properly guarding himself against Averis, Yachas al Nafshai, have Rachmanis on his soul, the al Nevesh Avi V'imai. And again, tying him back in here, your parents. So even if you could care less about your brother, but think about your parents. Do you want them to go through the anguish of In Shemayim? It's going to be presented. It's everyone. Whatever we do in our personal lives, you know, when we talk about, imagine that there is a Aizen, Shemas, and Ayin Raya. It's not just that Hashem is seeing us in the moment. There's going to be a video screen, a high-def IMAX video upstairs in Shemayim of everything that we do. And all those personal averas that you thought nobody's seeing, you know, all of a sudden it's going to be on the big screen. And there are people that say that that's really what the punishment of Gehenna is. It's not a fire. It's the embarrassment that comes because there's no forgetting. Ein shecha. There's no forgetting in the next world. So whatever averas you bring with you, you sort of wear a sticker on your forehead that everyone knows what you did. So he says, think about the anguish to your parents when they're going to see when your brother is brought up to Shemayim after 120 and they're going to be upset about it. V'yechichenu al panav. Basically in a nice, soft, sweet way. So in a way that will be makabel. Now, if you know he's not going to be makabel, then obviously don't do it. But if you can make a roishem, which a lot of times you can, then and you do it in a loving way, so then do it. And you and not only do it, but you should do it. And basically tell your brother to like re-energize himself. In his avodas Hashem, shekachi chay v'seinu v'kachna alanu. That's our obligation, and this is good for us. V'kahena devarim tayvim, ayoytzim in alev and echnasim b'alev. And you should use the closeness that you have with a sibling to connect with them. And you say devarim shabalev. In other words, you know things that appeal to them. You know ways to get inside their head to actually make a difference. And in that way, what if it comes from your heart, meaning it's really sincere, it will penetrate into their heart. And continue to speak and work with him until he changes for the better. And to whatever extent you can assist with helping your brother, helping your nephews learn Torah and do mitzvahs, you should do it. You'll earn a bracha from Hashem and from your parents. For all the good that he does with his brother and his father's family, This is the proper way for brothers to follow so that they will not separate from each other. He says, a wise man will hear and increase his learning. So I guess one lesson to take away from this is we always talk about when someone is nifter, you know, and a parent's nifter, and we always want to do things, or a grandparent is nifter, we always want to do things to benefit the parent, the grandparent. We always think, what can we do? So obviously you give tzedakah, you learn mishnayos. But here it's eye-opening. He's telling you, you want to know something that's mamash going to make a raishim, that not only is going to make your parents proud of you, but it's also going to save them from anguish, is diffusing machlekes. So if there is machlekes in a family, and even if it's not between you and your sibling, but if it's between two of your siblings, diffuse the situation. Or if you see them doing something wrong, to try to help them and try to speak with them to help them do better. And that's one way that you will make a double, multiple impact. Again, not only by positive, but also removing negative. You're flipping something that would all be a tsar for them, and now you're making it something that's enjoyable for them. So that's the way that we could definitely bring an ilui to the neshama of a nifter, of a parent or a grandparent, by getting involved when we see opportunities to be mechazik people in the family, or we see opportunities to help shape them and help direct them in the proper, steer them in the proper way.